This is a production of Cornell University.
Thank you for coming today. And as we mentioned last time, we always start the meeting with roll call. roll call of the voting members, because we need more. So we'll start with Arts and Humanities, Kristen. Okay, Andy?
Here.
Rebecca? Yeah. Life Sciences, Lexa. Kavya. Cinnamon?
Yes.
Physical Sciences and Engineering, Dot.
Here.
Dietrich? Jared? Nathan?
Yes.
From the professional schools, Alexei from Johnson, and Elizabeth from Beck. Social Sciences, Margaret.
Here.
Mo?
Here.
Wendy?
Here.
And Masters in CIFA, Kara?
Here.
Is that Kara or Kara?
Kara.
Thank you. Okay, so with that, we have quorum. And for all field reps, you will be signing your attendance during division breakout. So hold on to that. And next on the agenda, we have approval of the minutes. Again, minutes are with records of our meeting details. And we don't currently have the minutes from our last meeting yet. So we'll do approval of the meeting minutes from May. Is there anyone who would like to motion for any amendments or changes to that meeting minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
There is a motion to approve the minute as it stands. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to approving the minutes of May 7, 2018? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Thank you. We'll do approval of the other minutes next time. And next, we have a presentation from Gina, Director of the Office of the Assemblies, on Robert's rules and how we do debates on resolutions and other motions.
Hi, everybody. Thank you very much for having me back. I sort of touched on it last time. How to debate. Again, you're all here, you have varying interests, you have some may have different voices in terms of you're comfortable standing in front of folks and sharing your voice. Some of us are less so. And Robert's Rules of Order is what this assembly, all of the assemblies at Cornell currently, but this assembly has adopted as the rules for conduct for debate. And debate is loosely used. Debate isn't necessarily going at each other. Debate is what we call having the conversations on the floor. So when you bring your, whether it's a resolution or you're talking about a particular initiative or something, it's how you talk about, how you conduct yourselves as you're talking about these different things. So Robert's rules, as I mentioned, last week, just barely getting into it, were actually established after a contentious church meeting. So contention happens not just in assemblies or in government, but also in houses of worship. And so this was this This is how these came to be. And basically, it's a rules of order, rules for conduct, so that everyone can be heard and it lessens the confusion. So the basic concepts are quorum, which is the minimum number of voting members required for the business, which is half plus one, so it's a majority. A motion is an action considered by the assembly. If something is on the floor, that means it's being actively considered by the assembly. There's a motion on the floor, and there can only be one motion on the floor at a time. And that means that it's, again, for order and lessens the confusion. An executive session is any portion of a meeting that is open only to voting members. And sometimes that's necessary or desired so that you can really have more informal conversations about a particular topic. No business can actually be, not business, but no actions or policies can be changed during an executive session, but that may happen from time to time. And it really gives the voting members an opportunity to really have a distilled conversation without other folks. The clerk, myself, the Cornell Daily Sun, visitors would be asked to excuse ourselves, and that way the assembly can conduct the show its own business in a more informal fashion. So the basic principles, they're highlighted. It's courtesy and justice for all, consideration of only one subject at a time. It ensures that the minority is heard and must be heard, and that the will of the majority would prevail. So the way it works is, I think in the agenda today, Andy also sent out I don't know if you saw it, Robert's Rules of Order, a quick guide, had some blue highlighting. That's a quick guide that also runs through what might happen, a possible scenario. These are the different things that you might be thinking. If a motion is introduced and you want to change a word, or you want to strike a word, or you're done with all the debate and you just want to move on, these are the ways you do that. And all of those actions are recognized through the chair. So Rena would make sure that the conversation is happening, people are given the opportunity to speak, show people the speaker's list, and you would ask your question to the chair, who would recognize you and make sure that the debate, again, debate loosely defined as nothing necessarily contentious, but that the conversation can continue. And essentially, a motion is a proposal that the assembly take a certain action or that it expresses itself as holding certain views. And in the GPSA, the debates or the would necessarily be around resolutions. So when you do your breakouts, you're really not, that's not voting on resolutions. That would come back during when the assembly regathers. And when you're talking about resolutions, that's probably when the debates would happen. So there's seven steps. As I just mentioned, you'd ask to be recognized by the chair. A member might make a motion. Another member has to second the motion, just like we did with passing the minutes. Thank you, Matt. The chair then would put the motion on the floor by, she would restate it, and then allow for debate. Does anybody have anything they want to say about this particular thing? During that debate, members have the right to be recognized, and there's lots of things you can do during that debate. Again, you can change it, you can refer it back to a committee, you can amend it, and all of those things, again, would be orderly recognized by the chair. Once the debate ends, the chair puts the motion to a vote, and then everybody would vote. And the chair would announce that vote. So by a vote of 14 to 12 to 2, the motion passes, whatever the vote might be. I think probably this is my favorite slide of all of Robert's rules, that these are really the important things when conducting yourselves at the assembly anyway. Really listen to the other side, focus on the issues and not the personalities. Avoid questioning motives and be polite. These probably are all things that we do when we're talking to our friends. This doesn't necessarily have to be a contentious body. This really is, again, you're here because you have different ideas. It's expected that you're not going to all agree on things, but you can do all these things. Really listen to the other side. It may change how you understand an issue to be, and it keeps it from getting personal. So getting your point across, there are a couple things you can do if things are you're not quite sure, you can't really follow what's happening with the motion. You could ask for a point of order, and a point of order brings attention to an infraction of the rules of order. Again, that would be addressed to the chair. The chair could entertain it or not, and it should be raised immediately if you think that there is a necessary that you're calling for a point of order. A point of privilege means, you know, maybe it's too bright or you're sitting in the back and you can't hear the speaker. Point of privilege is, you know, could you repeat that to make sure that everybody can hear it? Or the slide is too dark and the font is ugly and you need it done differently, in which case I'd ask you to send me your favorite font and we'll do it better next time. Voting in the GPSA, typically by placard, the chair would call for a vote. And you would either be for, against, or you'd abstain. And the tally of those would be the vote that's entered related to the resolution. Sometimes the vote would be called for is there unanimous consent, like we did for the passing the minutes. You don't necessarily have to take a placard vote. If there's unanimous consent, then it also passes. If one member objects, you would then go to a placard vote. So here's some things to do before you get to the resolution. And this is, it's really more procedural as you're developing your initiatives that would happen probably in committees before they're brought to the floor. But it's really important to make sure that you do your homework. And there's a lot of things to do before you actually start writing the resolution. One is that you develop the initiative or topic, and then search for some legislative history. I can tell you, even though I've only been with the Office of the Assemblies now, well, going into my fifth year, that most of these topics they come around, and we have a robust record. That's part of what we do in the office, is maintain that record. So if you want to go online and search, or you think you might have an idea that hasn't been done before, give us a call or stop by or send us an email and we can help research it as well. We have physical archives that go back to, I think they're starting in the late 70s. And then when those end, we go online. So there's a lot of shared governance history that might be able to inform whatever your initiative is. And then solicit feedback. Most of you have been appointed or elected from fields or by your peers and classmates. Ask them what they think. Again, this is a representative body, so you want to make sure that the voices that you are representing, that you've been talking to your peers, to the folks that you engage with. And then this is really important: engage the stakeholders. And there are a lot of them. If you're not quite sure where to start, Rena and where's Nate? Nate as counsel, you know, a lot of folks have been around for quite some time and they can help put you in touch with the right people, the right office. We're always happy to help with that as well. But that's an important part of this too. You'll see there's another slide coming up where I sort of end with, by the time a resolution gets to the floor, you should have a pretty good idea of how the vote's going to go, because you've been talking about it, you've vetted it, you've got support, or at least you know how the administration or the stakeholders are going to respond to it. So that there's really, if there are surprises, it's because somebody threw a curveball, but not because you didn't. There hasn't been enough stakeholder outreach. This is really sort of just talking about the same thing. There's a great a checklist that actually the Student Assembly came up with many years ago that sort of will guide you through that. And it's as it's listed. So you're checking for the legislative history, you've checked with other assemblies. Cross-assembly communication is always good. Maybe somebody else is taking it up, and there's power in numbers. Or you can find out who they've talked to, or collaborate if that's possible. You've solicited feedback, and then you also want to make sure that I didn't change my slide from the last time I gave this presentation, but it should say from as many GPSA members as possible. And then that the issue is still unresolved. Sometimes just because of the process, the time it takes a body to hear all that, to have it introduced, and then brought forth for some action at the next meeting, that the issue may have already had some momentum and been resolved or further along, so check with that as well. And if you're not sure, again, we're always happy to help. I just wanted to point out that there are additional resources for Robert's Rules on our website. If you haven't been there, assembly.cornell.edu, and we have a number of resources, relative to what we're talking about here, our legislative processes, parliamentary procedure, the simplified, the document that you've got attached to your agenda, that's also here, charts of motions, a lot of information is available on our website. And does anybody have any questions?
So we'll be taking in questions, and I'll keep the speakers list, just like when we're doing discussions. So you can raise your hand or placard if you have a question for Gina.
Motion to extend the speaker's time by 5 minutes. Agenda says you want to come in and expire the program's time by 5.
Sure. Any second?
Second.
Yeah, okay. No objection? Okay. So, yes.
Thank you. Do you need to be a voting member to make a motion?
No. So I'll answer that. no, you don't have to be a voting member to make a motion. Any member can make a motion. Field reps are members. Ex-officio members are members. Yes.
Follow-up question.
Yes.
Are people that are not field reps but be representing an organization that's funded? Members enough?
Yes.
Members?
You are tier reps, yes.
Yes, yes. Yes.
It's equivalent. Yeah.
Is there a follow-up on that?
Sorry.
Is that right? Is that right? I will.
Yes.
Yes. So the only thing that the voting members have the right to do that the other people in the room don't is actually voting yes or no on the resolution itself, right? But if you want to add language or whatnot, there's nothing stopping anyone or just talking about it. There's nothing stopping anyone else in the room to do so, and I encourage you to do so even if you don't know the exact way to do so. We will make it work.
Yes. We'll figure it out together. Was that okay?
That's it.
Thank
okay.
You.
Yep.
Yes.
I wanted to ask about why the municipality passed the meeting part of today.
So that's a very good question.
Yes.
Last week we had, or the last meeting we had a clerk who was sort of subbing in, and with the first week of classes for our students, they're just not quite ready for presentation here. We just wanted to make sure that we had reviewed them because there were some new people involved in the process. But we expect that they'll be ready for you in regular fashion from here on.
Okay, I'm a new member, so I don't know the procedure yet, but are these sent to Ms. by email, or do you just distribute your hard copy? Because there was just 2 minutes in between those who were here, and I received them as
so, you should have received the whole meeting packet through your email at least 24 hours before the meeting. That's the rule. And if you haven't received it, that was probably because you're not up to date with the mailing list. And that's what we're going to do in the division breakout. We're going to update everything. So hopefully, all the relevant people will get all the relevant materials needed for the meeting. Other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, for your time and participation, too.
So next on our agenda, we have elections, and as many of you know, we still have open positions, specifically for one MEng voting member, one master's non-MEng voting member, and two UA representatives. And for voting members, as Alex has mentioned before, generally the major difference between other members and voting members is generally that you get to vote on the formal resolution itself when we're passing it. As for UA reps, Matt, did you want to talk a little bit about what the UA is?
I'd be delighted to read up. The University Assembly is the body that brings together all four constituencies on campus, undergraduates, graduate students, faculty, and staff. And we handle issues that are cross-cutting, including infrastructure, healthcare, the campus judicial system as a whole, and other issues that are cross-cutting. Again, our purview is a little different because of that, and we're happy to answer any questions. I know some people have asked me some at the meeting, and if you have any others, I'd be happy to answer.
Okay, thank you. And what do they have to do when they're UA reps?
So, to be a member of the University Assembly, we meet bi-weekly as well. Alternate DPSA every Tuesday from 4:30 until about 6. Full disclaimer, we do somewhat frequently run over. You also, to serve in the Assembly, you'd be expected to serve on at least one or potentially more of our intra-car positions for the UA committees, as well as with our external liaison positions. And you'd obviously, so that's in your colleagues that are coming to meetings and serve actively on at least one or potentially more committees and or external other appointments.
Okay, thank you. For this position, I'm accepting nominations. First, for one MEng voting member. Is there anyone who would like to nominate themselves or any other person?
Why are master's engineering students being elected here when the CEPA rep and the ILR rep is designated at school?
So that's just the tradition that we've done. There's nothing stopping us from electing CEPA members out here, which we have done in the past. So master's non-voting MEng voting member last year was from CEPA, and they were elected here.
I guess the question we've raised is the GPSA's charter says there are four master seats, one for ILR, one for CEPA, one for engineering, and one at large. Which would also mean that not a non-master engineer at large would be able to hold it. So I'm just curious why two seats are being run now and the two other seats, based on conversations, are being were sent out to the ILR and CEPA field boards and handle the election.
Well, as far as I know, because they're from CEPA and ILR, so other members cannot vote for it. But right now, it's not written anywhere that you cannot run for it here. Yeah.
I understand the question I still have to answer is why are those two being different than engineering seats? So why does engineering seats have been set out for uniform?
So essentially, we compared this to the professional schools. So the professional schools like Law, Vet, and Johnson, they have always done their own elections internally. And so because these are also major specific things, we think that they should be comparable to those schools. If it's up for debate, it's not written anywhere on governing documents.
Governing documents say professional schools can conduct their own elections.
Exactly, right? So this one is not, right? So that's why this is a suggestion of how we should do it. If you have an objection to it, you can state a motion. I was accepting nominations for MEng position, and if there's any nominations, this is your time to state it. You can nominate any MEng student, or if you're an MEng student yourself, you can also nominate yourself.
Okay.
Okay, so since we don't have anyone here, I will keep that open for now. How about
a motion?
Yes.
If hearing no interest, I would motion that we reach out to the Engineering Master's Guild Board and ask them if they have anyone similar to as we did with CFUS dialogue.
Right, yeah.
Second.
Yeah. How about the other nomination for a master's voting member that's non-MMA? For
point
of information, yes. There's a motion on the floor, so we can't continue this quarter itself. Oh, I see. So we're practicing that. Okay, so the motion was
to reach out to the Master of Engineering Field Organization and ask them if they have any interested individuals similar to the assembly did with ILRC.
Okay, and there's been a second. Is there any objections to that motion? Okay, seeing none, Andy will do that. Andy will reach out. Okay, and now we can move on to the other nominations. Would anyone like to nominate anyone for the other voting member position?
I'd like to nominate myself as the non-managed master's student.
Okay, can we have your name?
My name is Caitlin, K-A-T-E-L-Y-N, Colombo, T like Peter, A-L-U-M-E-O.
Okay. And you are from?
I'm from CIPA.
Okay. And is there any other nominations for this position? Okay, I will first solicit nominations for UA reps, and then I'll ask everyone to come forward. Any nominations for UA reps? Yes?
I would nominate Ms. Logan Kenney, spelled L-O-G-A-N-K-E-N-N-E-Y. She expressed interest in Astro-Rum, but she had an issue with the passage of the year.
Okay. And any other nominations? Yes?
First name,
J-E-F-F. J-E-F-F. And last name?
P-E-A. Like
special. Okay. And you are from, are you a PhD master's student?
PhD.
Okay. Any other nominations?
I'm myself.
Okay. Okay. Any other nominations? Okay. Seeing none. Can I invite Caitlin, Jeff, and Andy to come forward? And Logan's, I guess.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yes.
No problem. If one information, haven't heard anything. Thank you for nominating the CIPA. Haven't heard anything from CIPA about that. There's CIPA, it's just from CIPA.
Yes. Okay, so since you are the one that we stated first,
yes.
Can we have you introduce yourself, maybe just briefly?
Sure, yeah. Please forgive me, I didn't know I was doing this today, so I'm nothing prepared. But my name is Caitlin. I'm a second-year CIPA fellow, so I'm doing a Master's of Public Administration. My concentration is public and nonprofit management. Before graduate school, I was in New York City. I was working for a large NGO. I've been grants management, supply chain, lots of organizational administration type roles.
Okay. I can take up to 2 questions if anyone would like to ask the candidate something. Yes, Alex.
Sure. What's an area of interest that you're particularly interested in getting involved in the GPSA?
I am somewhat interested in finance, but also just in the support that graduate students are given across campus.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. We'll be giving out this ballot sheet that you can take to your division breakout later, where you can get to write, your choices for candidates. So we'll do the other UA rep, introduction first, and then we'll do the ballot all at the same time. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And so for the UA ballot, we have Logan nominated first.
So again, Logan from Spencer College is going to attend. She's a first-year law student, attended Cornell University undergrad, class of 2016-2015 from Cal's. When she was an undergrad, she served as a member of the SUNY Student Assembly, which is analogous to the Desmond's. It's called Student Assembly for the entire SUNY system, which Cornell is a member. She's interested in the UA's role in terms of its overarching goal of healthcare infrastructure and the fact that it's cross-cutting. She wanted me to mention that she actually withdrew from the law school election for GKA members because she wanted to focus primarily on this. And since her goal is really to look at the higher level and then look across the issues, sending her interest. And just, I don't know, she's spoken to me at least 4 or 5 times about questions of the UA's agenda for our last first meeting and asking general questions about the assembly. And that's why she got to
know. Thank you. And then we have Jeff.
Hi everyone, my name is Jeff. I am a second year PhD student out of the Biomedical Sciences Department. I'm really interested in being part of UA because I've had previous experience working in my undergraduate institution in Canada, where I liaised with faculty and staff, both in general as a graduate society and undergraduate society, but also specifically towards the science community there. And so I'd love to kind of carry those skill sets onwards. Did a lot of legislation previously there and liaising with other universities in Canada, and love to translate some of those skill sets specifically to how we use it across campus here, both for faculty, staff, and also undergraduate students.
Okay. Thank you. Andy?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Andy. I introduced myself here last time, but I am a current third-year PhD student in Romance Studies. Currently, I am the Executive Vice President of the GPSA, where I am working very closely with the GPCI and the IB Plus Summit, which are topics that will come up as we go through those. With the GPCI, I volunteered to be the chair of a sense of community, and I think that's very important that I can bring forth to the UA to kind of bring both of our assemblies together and be a liaison between them.
Thank you. Everyone gets to vote, and we still have the questions. Unfortunately, Logan is not here to answer questions, but I will also be accepting questions, so the question will be addressed to all candidates, so you cannot ask just Jeff or Andy, but if you have any question for everyone, you can raise your hand. Okay, sure. So we will be giving out the ballot during your division breakout. So right now we'll go over to division breakout to save time waiting for writing. And thank you. You can turn to your this is like a refresher where everyone should see in the division breakout. So one is professional schools, two is social sciences, three is humanities, four life sciences, physical sciences, and five life sciences. And then you'll be getting your ballot there during the division
breakout.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. It's not a non-engineering, it's an at-large piece. So in theory, an engineer could run for both.
Yeah.
So just want to be good. I know it's what it used to be, so I saw it, I figured it was a little over.
Yeah.
But it's an FYI.
Yeah. There was someone writing,
so, yeah. Oh, no, I completely understand. I just, in theory, it would tell an engineer, oh, you can't run, and you can't run. Okay. Although right now, I mean, we have no engineers, but in theory, if we had two, they could do it.
Thank you. Yes, yes. So there has been a motion on the floor to reinstate the GPCI ad hoc committee. And GPCI stands for the Graduate Professional Community Initiative. And would you like to say two sentences about it before we actually...
Sure.
Yeah.
So the GPCI, what it does is it's argument that we work on this academic year, and that is restructuring a lot of areas of the university, electricity and teacher problems, reorganizing it, and there are different areas that we are working on. For example, I am taking on citizen community, and that's just an idiot. It's a five-year plan for our university. It's a huge, very important document, and we are having a committee added to the year. So I'd like to reinstate that.
And there's this. Okay, so we can discuss this motion. Anyone would like to debate on it? Yes?
So I just have a question informally about like what reinstating the committee will do. We had a meeting previously.
So essentially, we have all these committees that are standing committees. They just appear all the time. Every year we have them automatically until we vote not to have them. But ad hoc committees, we have to reinstate every year or whenever we see fit. And GPCI is not one of our standing committees. Therefore, officially, we need to reinstate the committee to just, you know, acknowledge it as a committee for this academic.
The question I've got on that, my understanding is that GPCI is revised every 5 years, so is there an objection on behalf of the executive committee to potentially write it into our bylaw that every 5 years that we make? That's just to be formalized in our documents, so we don't have to go through the formal motion every 5 years, and just automatically, as the documents can say, this every 5 years the committee will convene.
I think you can certainly suggest that, but I wouldn't want to say that, you know, we only do it every 5 years, because there might be other updates that people would like to take on in between. Sometimes you may need 2 years to write the document, so you want to reinstate it, you know, for 2 consecutive years. So I wouldn't really like build in that strict of a, you know, time frame and form, but definitely that's something you could motion when Alex is talking about bylaw changes, right?
Yes, that is true.
Any other? So, since I see no other discussion, no other show of hands, is there any objection to reinstating the GPCI ad hoc committee? Okay, seeing none, the GPCI ad hoc committee is reinstated, and maybe we can hear an update about the GPCI, because we have done some informal meetings before today. Okay, so next we have operations.
Oh, yes, operations. All right, so we had our first ops meeting on Friday, and we, as a reminder, the ops committee is basically all the committee chairs and UA reps, and what we do is we talk about just structural things inside the GDSA, essentially. So one of the things that operations has put is providing updates to our bylaws, which are governing documents for how we run things, and so I'll be presenting that resolution later today, talking about what we want to update.
Okay.
And our next meeting will be next Monday.
Any
details.
Questions for Alex?
Okay.
Yeah. Sandra, was that a question?
No. It's a side.
Okay. Any no questions? Then we'll move on to communications. So we have Alexa.
Yeah, I don't have any other updates besides following on social media. I think how it does.
Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yes.
Next, we have appropriations.
Hi. We had our first two meetings already to set the internal budget, which we will see coming up later in the first resolution. And our next meeting, I don't have a date yet, it'll be in the next sometime. But it'll be talking with the panel.
Okay, so Annabelle's grocery. Okay. And did you need people?
Yeah, if you'd like to join, you could do with more people, one or two more people.
Okay, so if you're interested in appropriations, money, allocated money, you can talk with Sandra. Finance is not here today, but they are very overworked, so if your budget are a little late, it's getting worked on, and it should be done within the next few days. Student advocacy. Rihanna is not here today. Did we receive any updates?
She told me that she's still looking to recruit more members before she holds the first meeting.
And then we have diversity and international students. Eugene is also sitting up here. Alex, did you have any issue or anything from him?
It's probably along the same lines as Brianna.
They are still looking for members. I think, they have something probably of interest. I think they are hosting some sort of an event with Dean New. But the details are yet to come. So if you are interested, look out for that. We also have programming, Dutch.
If you're still looking for people to join the company, the schedule is like still on my view, especially in the grad hall, please shoot me an email.
Thank you. Any questions for Josh? Okay. Oh. Are you recounting?
Just making sure.
Okay. We're still waiting on the results. Faculty awards will not be very active until next semester. And we have the general committee.
We have a course meeting on Friday.
Okay. Thank you. And the grad school.
Two quick things. We are beginning a search for a new manager at the Big Red Barn. And I guess I should have asked you, do you want, as the executive board, to choose student members for that committee? Or would you like people just to reach out to me?
Are you talking about the Big Red Barn Advisory Committee or the committee that will choose the Big Red Barn?
The search committee that will choose the new manager, director of the Big Red Barn.
So do you have in mind how many spots? Like how many grad students you're looking for?
We would like at least one, even two students to attend every search committee meeting and participate in all the interviews. I realize that may be a lot of time because we hope to interview between 3 to 5 people on campus. I'll probably do the phone interviews, the screening interviews. And so if you want to choose a group of people with the first two maybe coming to as many meetings as they can, and if anyone of them can't attend, they send one of the backups. Even though consistency is important, we realize your schedule may not align with the speed with which we want to do this. Chris says she's going to retire at the end of January. We're still trying to find a loophole in the plan. If a second grandbaby on the way, I don't think we have much leverage here. So would you like people to contact you?
So can maybe Alex and you can talk about this, and then
you'll be solicited by one of us for that role. The other thing as part of the search, though, is we will have a day-long interview with each one of the candidates, and we want each candidate to meet with a large group of graduate students, and if you want to assist us, then we can send out a larger call. We're also looking for students to nominate for the Student Library Advisory Committee, and I realize they reach out to you.
Yes.
All the power users of the library add up to are too busy. The busiest people get asked to do everything, but if you wanted to serve on the Student Library Advisory Committee and you're not on Rita's list, you can be on my list. And are there any questions?
We are also still looking for this person. So if you are interested,
we're looking for a lot of people.
Yes.
We want to get involved.
I feel like I miss a little bit of the Student Library Committee.
So the library every year forms a student committee to advise them on important issues, and issues important to users of the library, particularly graduate student users. I think they try to meet 3 or 4 times a year. Nothing bad happens to you in this meeting. But if you're a power user of the library, or you have some needs related to the library, this would be a great committee to be on.
Right.
So let Rita or me know. But
so we have more than one spot.
We get to nominate 4 students. How many do you get to nominate?
Like the date has passed, so we are still looking for people. So definitely, like, just let us know. You'll probably get the spot.
So people who served on it said that they really enjoy it, it's rewarding, they feel like their contributions are really valuable.
Okay, any questions for Jen? Okay, seeing none, we can go to our new business of the day. And first one is introduction to Resolution 1, resolution approving the GPSA annual budget for the 2018-2019 term. We have Cassandra presenting, introducing this on behalf of the Appropriations Committee.
Maybe you put the numbers there. All right, so if anybody has taken a look at the resolution,
most of what we have written in here has to relate to our history with Annabelle's Grocery. Well, are you taking a picture? Back in 2015, when we were voting, or when they were putting together the byline cycle 2016 to 2018, they voted in to put aside $20,000 for Annabelle's Grocery for up to four years. And it passed, and so that's what we've been working with, or working on for the last 4 years. I've gotten numbers back that we've given them their chunk of money twice already, so we still have 2 years left. And so in this resolution, it is written towards the end that the appropriations committee will meet with Annabelle's leadership in the coming months to evaluate their finances and progress towards sustainability, and we'll have a decision by the end of fall 2018 semester as to when and if we will give them the money. Because if you look on the bottom of this page, there's always a clause that if we decide as a committee or as a assembly that Annabelle's is not doing so well or whatever, and we don't feel that we should give them the $20,000, the $20,000 will come back to us. Okay, so looking at this graphic that we put together of our budget, we have a rollover from past years of $27,000, almost $28,000. Last year there was a little question as to how much the rollover was, but I'm confident, yes, in this number. But also when we were looking, going over how much money we have, Gina in the Office of Assemblies found that we actually have an account that was made in 2012 by GPSA, and it's called the GPSA Reserve Account, and in it was $3,000. So we're actually, Exec and I talked about it, and we decided that we're going to use that as our rollover account just to make finances easier, so we'll always have that account on the side, so we'll know exactly how much rollover we have versus what's coming in from the student activity fee. So every year, the student activity fee, so our actual budget zeroes out at the end of the year, and what they'll do is just transfer the extra money over to the rollover account. Okay, so our income, and this number comes from the University Business Service Center. Our income this year should be $36,686.30. So combine the rollover, the three extra $2,000, we come to about $67,500. I don't know why we were yet expenses. That part. That's our budget that we are looking into setting. So administrative, I don't know if you want me to go through all these numbers. I could explain why they're set for certain things if you guys have questions.
Are you done with the
pretty much?
Yeah.
Our budget we are setting is slightly higher than what our student activity fee is, but given that we have a lot of rollover and we historically don't spend our whole budget, we thought that was appropriate so we can give as much to the committees as we think is all right.
Okay. So we're not taking any questions. If you have any clarifications on this numbers or the resolution itself. So I had Kavya.
So I guess that's my question. Does this account for what GPSAFC gives to FOSS, or is that a separate?
No, that's the FC is part of the byline award, so they're totally separate.
I'll go to that and then yeah.
How do you decide like what committee gets all the money?
So all the committees chairs will write a request for the budget to us, and then an appropriation committee gets together and we discuss like if they spent that much historically, you know, is it too big of a jump? Like, what are they saying that they're going to use it for? We try to find the best way to balance everything out to fit the budget.
Cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
But we're running the best way. You have to say that if you go to the top, the board can decide which one you're going to get. You can change that number.
Programming board is also byline funded, so you have a set amount that's going to come to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you get like an allocation, right? Like how many dollars?
You should. I don't know how much.
Yeah, but it's a nice amount for.
Wait, is it the $2.22 on per?
This is what happens: the money was paid. The byline, it is a source, so GPSAFC is one of them. The assembly is one of them. Our program board is the secondary one. So the program board, obviously, you run it. But the money is from our term budget comes from the byline.
Yeah.
Once it's 220 and something, is whatever student, that money comes into your budget.
Yeah.
So it's decided in a different resolution. I have district first and then.
So I do kind of unrelated questions. So my first question is, GPCI board, for example, was just created as of today, or just recently. Is there going to be a space in the budget to account for things like this, especially since we're already going over our original, like the income that we're getting from student fees, or how would that work?
That's a good question. Do you know, Matt?
I mean, the short answer is right now it's not the budget.
Yeah.
I mean, we can certainly add. However, as you pointed out, we are already overspending our income, which is not historically not good. We have to do bad practice to deficit spend.
Yeah.
But so we'd have to relook and figure out where that money would come from. The question also would be, though, what would GPCI see themselves needing to spend money on? So we can have a discussion to try and look at that. But right now, I mean, the short answer is right now it's not the budget.
I mean, GPCI is going to have so many groups and that are going to meet. Like, I don't think we could extend that far.
Yeah. So there will be an overarching committee, right? But again, it's just been formed. It hasn't been asked about the budget because it didn't exist today. Did you have a follow-up?
Yeah, kind of actually another related question. When will the budget intend to be finalized and voted on? It's being forwarded right now, of course, but will it be finalized by next session?
I mean, we would like to vote on it today after talking because, I mean, without a budget, you can't really function. And in our bylaws, it states that we have to.
So Alex looked at the bylaws.
Yep, so technically all it says is it must be introduced at the second meeting. So sure, it's great for a budget to be in place, but our typical practice has been introduce a resolution and then the next meeting you can vote on that after you vote that kind of digest it a little.
Okay, I have
that.
I was gonna say on that. I don't expect that. I would hope no committee is going to completely exhaust their budget between now and our next meeting. If there was a concern, they certainly could always instruct its committee chairs as it's operate, or knowing your budget is going to be in this neighborhood, being able to finalize it. So if we need a meeting, I would argue it's prudent, and it's not going to cause any events. This is, you know, which committee are near these caps yet, and therefore we know if you're going to come here, we're going to be talking to the appropriations committee, but just using the rules of thumb to formally approve.
Okay.
My entire point was related to the GPCI, and I was just going to
clarify, we have to roll over 27,000, right?
Yeah.
So technically, even though we're spending more than we got from GPSAF, we didn't spend all of it last year. So unless we go on another rollover for another year, we do have a little extra. The GPCI wants to hold town hall or something, which is what I would.
True. We can still do that when those things happen. We can always do a motion or a resolution to give money. But we all, like, as a good way to do your budgets, you should still stay within your actual budget. So.
But the follow-up clarification, how long can money keep rolling over?
Caitlin?
I have a question that's kind of related. So if these committees are able to spend against this money, just kind of assuming that it's going to get passed, do they need any sort of confirmation that they will be reimbursed, that is approved now, so that they don't spend something and then not get reimbursed? Does that make sense? So I had a separate question, which I was going to bring up later also, about tier organizations that haven't had their budgets approved yet but have activities starting.
Right, yeah. So I could probably answer that after.
Yes.
I think that was what Matt was saying. It's like, this is probably more or less how much the committees are getting. And since you should not be spending, close to your cap at this early in the year, it's probably sort of like, I don't think it will be impeding their operations for the next 2 weeks at least. Even if you don't necessarily vote on it officially. Yeah.
For rollover money itself, is that being kept by the university?
Well, that was the issue left. So before we found this extra account, it was being held in somehow in our same account that we use for GPSA. But now that we have this separate account that's already been made, and it's for our reserve, it's a reserve account that we can shift all of our rollover into there, so we always know exactly how much we have as rollover. Because the issue now is, even though we have rollover, we've been fighting with the actual number of our rollover, because the way the account is, it's not clear cut, and sometimes it's wishy-washy.
Every year our account goes to zero, so you measure a checking account. Every single year the GPCA budget gets zeroed out when we're done at the end of the year. And anything you spend coming back later, this reserve account now actually goes to the form savings account where the rollover gets shifted over there, so we actually know what the rollover is. For instance, the way this account was found is obviously somebody was going through an audit and they found we had money sitting around. That's not, again, not good governance, kind of money you don't know about. And it's also probably not good governance because your surplus with the day-to-day operating funds. So now this will enable us to have our operating budget will be in one account, our reserve will be in a separate account, so we know where our money is and where it's going and can better track it.
Okay. So, if there's more, is there any more questions? Yes, one last question.
I'm sorry, I might have asked already,
That's a whole other thing. So there are 10 byline organizations that the activity fee numbers go for. So you should actually look at our resolutions online from last year. In the fall, we set the 2018 to 2020 byline cycle, and it'll give you how much money is going to what orgs, or at least the amount per student.
So essentially, GPSA is an organization that is byline funded by the activity fee, and the GPSA FC is another one that is byline funded.
And so the program
awards. Yes.
But that's only 3 out of the 10.
Yes. So there's the Big Red Barn, Cinema, and others. And then within that, they allocate whatever they get from the appropriations committee again. Throughout whatever needs, you're talking about the S, right? So they get a lump sum as a bilingual funded organization, and they have their own way of allocating that money. So that's separate from this, and also separate from this committee in general. So,
I mean, to postpone this until the next meeting.
There has been a motion to postpone our meeting. Second. Okay. Is there any objection to postponing until the next meeting? Okay, seeing none. This has been postponed until the next meeting, and we have another resolution today that we have to introduce, and that is resolution 2.
Hi guys, I'll start talking about what this resolution is in the meantime. So basically, we have our bylaws, which are our governing documents for the GBSA, how it works, what are the duties and composition of our committees, how we operate inside this assembly floor. Basically, in our bylaws, it says that by the second meeting of the year, we need to provide an update to the bylaws to make sure they make sense and are following what we're actually doing. So the actual resolution is literally just saying we are adopting these changes. So the important document is the one that actually has the changes. Fortunately, I'm just going to allude to them here. So there's six different changes that were in this, other than typos and things that are always there. So the first one, there was this clause about exec committee decisions being subject to approval, which Matt pointed out is the case anyway in Robert's rules that anything is subject to approval in the assembly, so it's an extraneous clause, so he's recommended we deleted it. Second is in section 3.03G, which is talking about like what are the different committees that ops needs to staff. We added a thing for giving an appointment to the orientation planning committee, because that was a thing that was originally funded through the funding cycle, and since we're not giving them money anymore, we won't have a liaison necessarily to them, so we wrote one in anyway. The next one is just a simple thing where the appropriations chair has to give their historical documents to the next chair. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. For the Finance Commission, they want to change the cap on the number of people that can be in the Finance Commission from 10 to 15. Most people didn't see a problem with letting them have more people to look at budgets. The next one is just some cleanup based on the fact that we recently redid our Finance Commission guidelines for how things get funded. So there was some leftover language talking about like annual budgets and things like that. So we got rid of that language because it's obsolete. And then the last one is just codifying the practice that we've been doing for a number of years now, which is when we have a resolution, we introduce it at the first meeting with a question and answer session, and then don't vote it at that meeting. We give it another meeting before we have a chance to actually debate and vote on it. And there is a mechanism where if you two-thirds of the people say, no, we need to vote on it now, there's a way to do that. But in practice, we're going to try not to do that so that we can actually be a deliberative body and not rush into actions. I mean, there will be cases where things may happen, but we'll try to avoid them. So those are the six changes. Everything else is just typos.
So we'll go into a Q&A and vote on this in the next meeting, following our rules.
It's a bit
recursive. Q&A, any questions for Alex on any of the changes? Yes, Matt.
In the operation of the staffing committee, we discussed how the internal extra committee appointments right now are a mess and actually just contrary language. Would you have any... do you have any objection by looking at it to be an online committee and trying to figure out where they're going? Because right now, some areas say we need approval from certain people, other areas say you don't need approval at all. I mean, the document can change earlier, the changes were not done completely. So in terms of trying to figure out where they are and proposing that, so we should potentially harmonize them.
On behalf of the Ops Committee, I would welcome any such language to clarify how things are appointed.
Yeah.
But that would have to come as an amendment at the next meeting.
Oh, so actually, because we are not in a formal discussion, the way we've done it is, you know, between now and the next meeting, if you have, you know, any suggestion for Alex, anyone is welcome to email Alex, and he can consider that as, you know, amendments that you don't really have to put into, you know, motion. Yeah. And just incorporate that. Yeah. So anyone, not just Max, anyone is welcome to do that. Okay. Any other questions? Yes,
just a pedantic thing, but it seems like the updated procedure would require each of these steps to take place. That like in that particular order, and it's a little bit ambiguous with regard to formal discussion and resolution in terms of the party. Would this require that each of these steps in the procedure take place?
I mean, I could put in a clause that says any of these may be waived, but this should be the general procedure that we've been operating under anyway.
Right, but this would actually enforce this procedure for all proposed resolutions.
Correct.
Okay.
If you have language that you would like to see in there, you're welcome to offer.
Sandra?
My comment is back to you and I, how we're talking about the AC liaison. Could we do it in such, like, they'll be, like, all the ones that we want a liaison for? Do we put those as the main staff, under staffing, but, like, because the AC liaison is not really their GPSA liaison, so they can count as the one that
So the question is whether the liaisons to different byline coordinated organizations should fall under your section or my section, more or less?
Kind of.
I'm not sure. That's up for us to decide.
Mm-hmm.
If you have
ideas.
Because
I feel like you can, I feel like you can put them all under
that might make
staffing,
sense.
And then there won't be a confusion at all. Especially
near me, it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So you can talk about
this
in between the meetings, in the next weeks. Any other questions? Okay. Is there a second to postpone? Okay. Is there any objection to postponing this resolution until the next meeting? Seeing none, this is postponed. We'll vote, or at least do some formal discussions in the next meeting. Before we adjourn, I would like to announce the winner of our elections. And for the at-large master's voting members, congratulations, Caitlin, you are a voting member. And for the UA rep, congratulations, Logan and Jack. You are now our UA reps. Okay. So now we really do actually have adjournment as our next agenda. Oh, would you like to? Okay. Is there a motion to add open forum? Okay. Any objection? Seeing none, we'll have open forum. You have the chance to say or announce anything within reason. anyone would like to make any announcements?
I would also bring up something about appropriations. We'll also have to look at the SC guidelines this year. So if there is any organization, people, or anybody that is upset or happy about the way that they're being run recently, can join AC and we'll go over the process again.
Yes. Okay.
Join committees.
Okay. Any other, yes?
GP Women, the Graduate Professional Women's Network, is hosting an ice cream social at BRD tomorrow at 4:30 p.m.
Okay. No need to RSVP.
Everyone's welcome.
No, it's all open to all. No one's RSVP.
Okay.
I'm with BRD.
Okay. Okay, cool. DC?
Sorry.
You have a question?
Yeah. I was trying to look at
Tomorrow at 4:30.
Big Red Bar.
At Big Red Bar.
Yes. Any other remarks?
Meeting.
Okay, there's been a motion to adjourn. Second, any objection? Seeing none, the meeting is adjourned.
Yeah.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.